and peace from God the Father be multiplied in your lives today in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, week by week, I am so humbled to come to this holy ground that the world refers to as the pulpit. I have no idea why you guys are so loving, kind and gracious to myself and Miss Ruth Ann, but we hope that it never stops. We hope it never ends. It is a pure joy to be here, and Miss Ruth Ann and I pray for you all daily, and I can assure you that that will never, ever stop. If you have the Word of God all over the sanctuary, whether in printed or digital format, hold God's Word over your head, church. Amen, hallelujah. It doesn't matter if it's in printed or digital format. Oh, man, I see you got your Bible right up in the air there, little fella. So turn in the Word of God to Joshua chapter 8. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, the sixth book in the Bible, Joshua chapter 8. We are come together here today, and I've said so many times, friends, that we are here for one purpose. That's the glory of God. Amen? Amen. And it is our desire to do what God has called us to do. Which is specifically why I ask the children and young people to be in our services periodically. We are called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, making disciples of men and women throughout the world. And you know, there's times when we look at some people. You know, we all have that person in our life that's been so mean to us. That difficult boss. That pure evil person that happened to be in your life. And we think that's a person that is totally outside the will of God. But I come here today to tell you that no one is outside the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ that's alive here on this earth. No one. There is nothing so terrible that the love of Christ is not deeper still. Amen? And friends, what you need to understand is that the same power, young people, look up here, children, young adults, look up here. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that comes into your heart. It's the same power that will save you so that you can be in heaven with us one day. Amen? I want to go to heaven. How about you guys? Amen. Heaven is where I'm headed. Heaven is where I'm going. Someday, young people, Pastor Larry is getting older now. You know, in a month I'll be 60. We'll put it this way. Next week I go on Medicare. So that gives you some hint. So someday you guys will hear that Pastor Larry is dead. I don't want you to believe that for a second, young people, children. I'm not dead. I am walking the streets of heaven. I'm walking the streets of glory. I'll have that glorified body. As hard as it is to imagine, this is going to get better. You know, honey, you didn't have to laugh like that. You know, the whole church heard my wife just laugh out loud like that. So we are in Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 through 2. We're continuing our story. We know that God's people have come out of the desert. They've come out of exile. They've crossed the Jordan River. They've conquered Jericho. Then they had some sin in their lives because they were told to do certain things and to leave the stuff of Jericho alone. And so not only did they hang on to that, but they also decided they didn't need all of the things that God decided to use. And so they tried to go conquer a city in their own power. Friends, if you want to know just how powerful you are, try to conquer your problems in your power. And see how that works out for you. But we know that we can do all things through Christ who lives in us. Amen? And through the Lord Jesus Christ and through God the Father, we're saying here, as we prepare to look at these first couple of verses, let's read them right now. If you're in Joshua chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, please say amen. Amen. If you're there in a paper Bible, say amen. Amen. I see that Bible open right there. Brand new Bible. You know, it's got that new Bible smell. You know, you get a new car, it's got that new car smell. But he's got his new Bible. Reading the first two verses of Joshua chapter 8. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and his king as you did to Jericho and his king. Only his spoil and his cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. God is saying here, listen, don't worry. The sin that you guys committed in chapter 7 has been dealt with. We've dealt with that. So now, just as I, the Lord thy God, gave you the victory in Jericho, I, the Lord thy God, am going to give you the victory in Ai. Or A. You can pronounce it either way. Depends on whether or not you're Pastor Larry. No, I'm kidding. You can actually pronounce it either way. Folks, never forget that the Lord God who has given you life's victories is also the very same God that corrects us when it's needed. Now, some of you folks grew up as old goody two-shoes. I like to say that my wife grew up with the Waltons. You know, good night, John Boy, good night, Daddy, and it was a wonderful family. Not everybody has an opportunity to grow up in that type of environment. You know, but we all go through those periods when we have conflict in our lives. Amen? We all go through those periods where there are things that need to be dealt with that God Himself has to deal with. And the same God that has given us victories, He's the same God that corrects us, which is then again the same God which will rescue us from the defeats that we put on ourselves. How many times can you look back on an event in your life and say, I can't believe I did that to myself? We've all done that. Don't sit here looking around with your church looks on your face, your spiritual looks on our face. We've all done that. Amen? Now listen, today we don't have time for all of the details of this chapter. It's going to be a brief overview of what happens here. But church, God's strategies may change. Amen? He may use different methods. And the God that gave Jericho to the Israelites is the same God that is giving Ai to the Israelites. How God secures the victory is not important. How He does His work is not the issue. The issue is that we know that it is God's victory. Amen? Let's try that again. The issue is that we know that the victories in our life belong to the Lord. Amen. You know, let's not get all puffed up when we do something wonderful and say, look what I have done. Don't ever forget King Nebuchadnezzar and what happened to him. You see, the issue is that we know that it's God's victory. The who is more important than how. Young people, when you go into school and there are certain things you struggle with, God has given you the opportunity to stretch, to learn, to call upon Him. If there are certain things that you do well, certain things that you do very well in your studies, then those are the things that God has blessed you with giftedness in. You should share that giftedness with others, not during the test. But if you're studying, you have a friend in a struggling area, help them out. I'll give you, for instance, I was very, very good in all the higher mathematics and things like that. Chemistry, mathematics, trigonometry. I finished Calculus 2 in the 9th grade. It's just how my mind works. English literature, not so much. If the teacher asked me, what's the difference between the first person participle and the second person removed, I would say, that's right, what's the difference? Then I would have a counseling session for being a smart mouth. You know, those things just weren't my giftedness. I had to work very, very hard in those areas. We are all gifted in different areas. The who that has given us the giftedness is far more important than how we get the things done. Amen? God works differently at different times. He works differently at different times in different churches. Listen, the exact ways and means that God has built Church by the Glades, the way that God has built the potential church, the way that God has built Saddleback Church and all these great churches that we see are not how God will build Living Hope Baptist Church. The only thing that has to be universal is the Word of God and the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get a testimony in here? Hallelujah. Absolutely. Our job is to do our job. By sharing the gospel, by sharing the good news that Christ came from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sins, that if we receive Him as Lord and Savior, that we will go to heaven one day. It's just that simple. God did not make it complicated. You see, far too many churches are trying to replicate what other people did. In other words, they're trying to replicate what God blessed another church with, thinking that it would work here. They say, oh, let's try those programs that that church used. If God blessed it there, then surely He'll bless it here. No, He may not. There are wonderful student programs out there. There are wonderful ministries out there. That does not mean that's how God's going to do it here, apart from His Word. We were so blessed this past week and I'm going to go ahead and admit Pastor Larry messed up this week. We had a long meeting on Tuesday evening with my student, the college career and student pastor, Pastor Ivan. I always do that. Pastor Ivan, Miss Jamie's husband, and he has some amazing vision. He has some awesome things that they want to get done with the young people that they have coming. And I said, that sounds great. And they want to do a thing called the Illumination, an Illumination conference here in the sanctuary on August, I believe it's 5th and 6th. And they worked hard and they got the graphics ready. And they got the graphics to me by Thursday night. And then all the pictures from my parents started coming in for the graduations. And so I worked real hard on getting all the pictures for the graduation into our slides today. Guess what I forgot? Illumination. And it's great graphics. Where's the young man that made those graphics back there? There he is back there. Listen, guys, it's going to be on the app today. Hallelujah. Give that young man some round of applause there. It's going to be on the website today. It's going to be on the app later on this evening. And we will definitely have it up in our sanctuary announcements for the rest of these few weeks. They have amazing vision for reaching the world for the cause of Christ. So let's be open to what God wants us to do. What Pastor Ivan wants to do is outside the scope of what I would have thought of. No, I'm not that old. But it is outside the scope of the way my mind works. I assure you, God will do things differently here. So let God be God. And don't worry about any new methods that God may use. Amen? Let's declare the Word of God. Let's declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, friends, it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, the 7 most common words of churches that have failed, you ready for this? We never did it that way before. That's the most common thing said by churches that have failed. The important thing is not how God does it. The important thing that it is God that does it. And God wants to bless us with His plan. Amen? Amen. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. And while God's methods may change, children, students, church, God's personality, God's character, God's principles, God's holiness never change. Young people, you can trust God. You can trust God. Amen. Hallelujah. So today, I want you to consider how God does things when He's building His people and He's building His church for His work. I have 3 points today for you, and one of them is going to look a little harsh, but it's okay. I'll walk you through it. Amen. First, as we come to our first point today, God pardons confessed sin. God pardons confessed sin. Now, are there any of you here that have ever done something bad and your mom and dad were asking you about it? I'm talking to the parents here. Oh yeah, I got the church look on our face right now. I got real quiet in here. All of us have done things and mom and dad ask us, did you do that? What do they say? What do they say, children? Tell me the truth. Sometimes we forget that there are repercussions attached to telling the truth. Amen? But essentially what the mom and dad is asking, what moms and dad are asking is, listen, confess what you have done. This is an issue in your life. We need to address this issue. And listen to me, friends. Looking back for just a moment, back in Joshua 7, God's people had just flat out messed up. How many people here have messed up in their life? All right, we're going to pray for the rest of you fibbers. But listen, once the sin was addressed in chapter 7, God forgave them. He gave them a fresh start. Why? Because it is in God's nature to forgive sin. I want to say that one more time, folks. It is in God's nature to forgive. Listen, don't think that you are such a bad person, whether you're sitting here in the sanctuary or watching on the internet, that you've done things, you've said things, you've acted in certain ways that God cannot forgive. That is so not true. Hallelujah, it's just wonderful news. And here's why. Many people think that God is mean, that God holds a grudge, that God is looking for a reason to whack you. That's how people think of God. But if we confess our sins, Scripture, the Word of God says that He is faithful and true and just to forgive us our sin. Amen? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever done something and you ask somebody to forgive you and they really forgive you? Doesn't that feel awesome? Just think about our lives. Think about going to the God of the universe and saying, Lord, I'm so sorry for my sin. Please forgive me. And you know, you just have that, you just know in your heart He's done it. There's just that feeling in your heart that's just wonderful. Listen, you may have think that you failed the Lord. You may think that you failed the Lord in such a way that God is finished with you. You may be thinking that on the internet. Listen, guys. Welcome to the Failures Club. Welcome. It's a big club. If our camera were to pan around the sanctuary, every single person that it came across would be able to stand up and say, I have had a failure in my life. But I want to tell you today that God is no more finished with you than God was finished with the children of Israel just because they sinned. God can use you to do great and mighty things. Amen. Great and mighty things. The student ministry has an incredible vision. And I just know God is going to bless it because they're calling upon His great name. Our God is the God of second chances. Our God is a God of grace and mercy and forgiveness and faithfulness. It's who He is. He's the Lord God. And friends, your failures are not fatal as long as there is a God in heaven and you're alive. Amen? As long as there is a God in heaven and you are alive, your failures are not fatal. So don't quit. Young people, don't give up. You're not a failure. You're one of God's kids. It doesn't matter when you go to church if others think that you're a failure. It doesn't matter if you get bullied. There is a God in heaven that loves you. There is a God in heaven who sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, young man, and for you, young people, and for you, young ladies, and for you, young man. There's a God in heaven that died on the cross for you, and His name is Jesus Christ. You see, I thought I'd get a testimony there. I'm glad I brought up my own. Because I'm going to tell you right now that what Jesus did for me, He can do for you. You know, He is an amazing, amazing God. So don't give up. Be like the Israel when God says to them, forget your success at Jericho. Forget your failure at Ai. There is a land out there to be conquered. There's a world out there to overcome. And I am with you. I travel with you. Listen. Think about this. God says, I, the Lord thy God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will give you a second chance. Look at it this way. God gave Samson another chance. Amen? Amen. God gave John Mark another chance. The Apostle Paul, the great Apostle Paul, the Apostle of Grace, the Apostle Paul, thought that John Mark was a quitter. Sent him home to mama. I don't want to use him no more. Apostle Paul was done with John Mark, but not our great God. Amen. How do I know? Have you ever heard of the Gospel of Mark? I would say God used Mark. Amen. God used Mark after Paul gave up. And God can use you, young people, if the world gives up on you. God can use you. Remember that. Simon Peter. The Apostle Peter cursed and swore, and he denied Christ three times before the cock crowed. But God used Peter to preach one of the greatest sermons ever preached at the day of Pentecost. And 5,000 people were saved. 5,000. 5,000 souls added to the rolls of heaven. I'm so glad that our God is the God of second chances. Take a look at this verse. The book of Lamentations. Over in the New Testament, Lamentations, if we're back there, bring it up on the screen. One more. Should be one more, I think. Keep going. So we don't have it. All right. Well, Lamentations chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Lamentations. If you don't know where that's at, it's after the book of right after the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. If you're there in a paper Bible, please say amen.
Amen.
All of you folks with the digital Bibles, if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, Lamentations. Now, by the way, very seldom do you turn to Lamentations. Does Lamentations sound like a real joy-filled book? No. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Whose mercies?
The Lord's.
Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Well, I love verse 24 too. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in what? I hope in Him. My hope is in the Lord. Amen. My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in my wife's cooking, that when I get home later on today, we're going to have a great meal. But for my soul, my hope is in the Lord. And all God's people said, now, look behind me at the banners here, guys. Look behind me. Look at over here. What does it say right here? This is the day the Lord has made. Aren't you glad that regardless of whatever happened yesterday, whatever happened on the way here today, whatever happened last week, that this is the day the Lord has made? Why do we rejoice in that? Why? Because we will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because our God is faithful. Our God is merciful. We can hold on to whatever is quoted there. We will rejoice. We will be glad in it. Why? Because God pardons confessed sin. Don't ever forget that, friends. That's the good news. I know you guys are waiting for the hammer to drop here, but let's look at our second point. God punishes unconfessed sin. I want you to notice back in the book of Joshua, chapter 8, skip down to verses 24 and 25. Joshua chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. If you were there, please say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they pursued them, and when they all had fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. I want you to notice what happened in Ai. It's God's nature to pardon confessed sin. But God is holy. Our God is holy. I don't know how many times I can say that. He is holy. And by all that come into His presence, He must be regarded as holy. It is also in God's nature to punish unconfessed sin. You see, if we confess our sin, He shows His grace by forgiving. But if we don't confess our sin, our God is faithful and just and holy and righteous to punish that sin. You know, how many parents do we have here today in the sanctuary? Amen. How many grandparents do we have here today in the sanctuary? Amen. How many great-grandparents do we have today in the sanctuary? Amen. We're trying to catch up to you, Mom. Listen, guys. This is so important. We must confess our sins. Because if we don't, the punishment is coming. All of us parents have punished our children. Amen. They have done things. They needed the punishment. I had a lady when I was working in a company where I went to the office. She, as I came to work there, she knew that I was a pastor. I made that well known before I started working there. And so she was another programmer. She says, you know what I hate? I'm like, Lord, here it comes. She goes, I hate it when people beat children. And I said, I just sat there for a moment. Yeah. So she goes, well, some of them call it whipping. What do you think about that? I said, well, I've prayed about this. And I say, if they've done something bad enough, whip them till the smoke alarm goes off. And then put them in the corner and let them think about it for a while. You know, I'm pretty sure that what happened to me when I was young, Miss Sadie and Miss Doreen and all the whole family back there, all of us, when we were young, I'm pretty sure that what we got as punishment, they'd have thrown our parents in jail these days. Yes. And all the older people said amen.
Amen.
How many of you had to go get your own switch?
Woo.
There we go. And you better bring back a good one, amen? Oh yeah, I'm pretty sure they'd have thrown us right in jail. They'd have thrown them right in jail these days, friends. Listen, God punishes sin, but He's looking to forgive us, amen? Listen, the people at A were horrible, unrepentant sinners. They had no intention of stopping. That's why God said, kill them all. Now let me be clear about something here. Sin must be addressed. Sin must be preached about. It's not exactly the thing that we love preaching about, but it must be addressed. But listen, guys, so many preachers just rip people apart. They beat them down. They yell at them. My voice raises because I'm excited about God. They preach the wrath of God and hell and damnation. They rant and they rave and they yell. And what happens is people start getting a negative idea about God. They start getting bad feelings in their heart about Almighty God. They think that God is just mean instead of holy. But preaching that way is just bad preaching. But then there's the other side of it as well. There are some preachers out there that just preach on God's goodness. God's joy. I like to call them the joy boys. The happy clappy crowd. God is God of love, and He would never do anything to hurt you. And see, people never see that God is a God of wrath and God is a God of judgment. Righteousness is what God is. But listen to me, friends. He's a God of mercy and grace as well. To preach just one side or the other of God is a terrible mistake. Now, I get it. If you think about God, young people, God is big. God is scary. But here's the good news. He wants you in heaven. That's what you were created for. He wants you in heaven. Moms, if those little angels sitting next to you weren't quite the angels this morning on the way here, I want you to know the Lord wants them in heaven. Amen? And all the children said amen.
Amen.
There we go. Now, some people think that what God had Joshua do to A was harsh, but you cannot imagine how wicked these Canaanites were. Pastor John Wilder, a great theologian, great historian, great scholar, commented about this. You see, the Amalekites were part of the Canaanites. And Dr. Wilder wrote these words, "The Amalekites delighted in oppressing weaker people. They delighted in oppressing those that were unable to defend themselves. Their wars were wars of ambush against the weak, the aged, the helpless. They tortured their prisoners by cutting off people's heads, hacking off their limbs, knocking out their teeth, gouging out their eyes. The women were treated in abominable ways, and the children driven like cattle through the desert. They burned cities and destroyed any objects that were sacred and holy to God's people. They would mutilate the bodies of their captives. They would cut off parts of men and women while they were still alive and throw the pieces of flesh into the sky while they mocked their God, Yahweh. The book of Deuteronomy tells us that they committed abominations of all kinds." Sound like anybody we've heard of lately in the Mideast? When you talk about Al-Qaeda, when you talk about ISIS, that's who their ancestors were. And it doesn't seem like they've changed. And so I preach right here from the pulpit today that ISIS, Al-Qaeda, whatever name you go by, you may think you have the upper hand right now, but there is a God in heaven.
Amen.
And He loves His people. And He is coming for you, but it is still not late for even you to repent of your sin and to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because even you, even I, can become saved. And all God's people give Him praise. Hallelujah. Amen. So God gave them time to repent. They repented not, and so the judgment came. Let's look to our final point. God permits free will. God permits free will. Now this whole matter of free will has been a point of contention from the very beginning in the church. Amen? But here's the truth. When it comes to salvation, initial salvation, God allows people to choose. God is not going to force you to choose His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, God allows a man to choose whether or not he'll be pardoned or whether or not he'll be punished. We can personally decide to be blessed of God, but we can also decide that's not the route I want to go. I want to be cursed of God. I don't think I need Jesus Christ in my life. See, the rest of this chapter is so rich in meaning. There simply isn't the time today to do justice to what God has written here. There'll be a special message next week on the imagery there. Don't miss this message. If you have to be out of town, tune in. It's going to be one of those messages, guys. You cannot exactly imagine what's being said in the last six verses of this chapter. If you would, please, go to verse 30. Go to verse 30. If you put your Bibles away, I caught you. Go to verse 30. If you're there, say amen. We're going to read through this. I'm going to read through these last six verses. I'm just going to make a quick statement about each verse, so we can move along and get to graduation day. Verse 30. Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. You would think that after a great victory, they'd be concerned about the next battle. That they'd be concerned about doing other things. But instead, Joshua leads the people into worship. He cares about their spiritual condition. That's why we begin and end every single service, church, in worship. There's a reason for that. Verse 31. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. You see that there is a command of the Lord God to worship Him. Guys, worship of God is not optional. It's not optional. That means when we're playing the music and the people are singing, open your mouth and sing it. If you've never done that before, it might be a little awkward to start with. And do what I do. Listen, guys, I have a terrible voice. I just tell the praise team, make sure you're singing so loud nobody can hear me. But I'm going to worship God, amen? Listen, Scripture says, you shall worship the Lord. Verse 32, and there in the presence of the children of Israel, He wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which He had written. We see the importance given to the Word of God in our worship. That is why these young people right here have the Bibles open in their laps. That is why we ask that everyone here have their Bible open in their laps when they come to church. By the way, if you're visiting us today and you don't have a Bible, please see that nice lady back there in the back of the sanctuary on the way out. We'll give you a Bible if you need one. Amen? Amen, amen, Living Hope?
Amen.
Absolutely. That's what we have them here for. All right. Verse 33. Then all Israel, how many of Israel?
All.
With their elders and officers and judges stood on either side of the ark. Before the ark, by the way, the Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the priests, the Levites, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as he was born among them, half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. Everybody is to worship when they come into the presence of the Lord. Believers, strangers, the community of the Lord, unbelievers. Unbelievers are called to worship the Lord. Verse 34, and afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings. Did you know that? Did you know there are blessings and cursings in the Word of God? According to all that is written in the book, the Word, the book of the law. What's that mean? The whole Word of God is to be read. The whole Word of God is to be preached. That's why we preach expositionally at Living Hope Baptist Church. We go down through the verses. That way you can't skip over difficult subjects. Amen? It's up to the pastor to explain to the people what God has written there. And it's up to the people of God to have their Bibles open so that if the Holy Spirit touches your heart and you're saying, that doesn't quite jibe, Pastor, with what I see written here, then you can come to the pastor. You can come to me after service and say, Pastor, I didn't get that verse. Can you explain your logic to me? Can you support what was just said there? You know, Romans 10:17. Here's why we preach the whole Word of God. Amen. Are you ready? We're dialing this down. Are you ready, guys? Yeah. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. My dear friends, every verse of the Bible is to be taught. Blessings, cursings, easy, difficult, every shred of God's Word. Verse 35, what an amazing passage. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. Did you notice exactly what it said? That the whole Word is to be read in the whole community of all people. Declare the gospel unto the ends of the earth, to the glory of God the Father. It's to be read to the fathers, the spiritual leaders of the families. It's to be read to the mothers, the helpmates that God has placed in the family. It's to be read to friends. It's to be read to strangers. Look up here, church. God said to go and share the gospel to the ends of the world. Amen? And you say, well, I don't get that many chances. But the people that come are mean. Who is it that needs the gospel? Who is it? When you are struggling to go and to share the gospel message, and God puts somebody right in front of you that's not polite or kind, or they're mean, or they mock the Word of God, here's what God is saying to you. They're right there. I told you to share the gospel. I brought him to you. He is right there. There's a mosque right downstairs, right underneath us here. It's no accident that God put His people right here. None. Every time I leave and I come across them as they're going in and they're coming out, I try to greet them. I try to get... They generally run away from... As soon as they see the pastor with like a cross on them, gone. But occasionally they're friendly and they sit and talk. And I invite them to our service. Now, how's that thinking about thinking outside the box? Did you know that the greatest revival going on in the world right now is happening in the Middle East? In the midst of all of these people being murdered, Muslims are coming to the Lord Jesus Christ by the thousands, to the glory of God. Amen? Yeah, get quiet in here. The young and the old. Anyway, listen, friends. We preach the whole Word of God to the entire community. The pastor comes to the pulpit, standing on holy ground to instruct, to present. And we as a church worship together in song, in community, and we worship in His Word. That's why when Miss Jamie wants to try a new song, she doesn't have to ask me. She knows the standard. Does the song have Scripture in it? And does it glorify God? If it meets that criteria, guess what? Sing away. We're going to try new songs. Amen? So listen, friends. Our entire purpose, we have been given one command, to preach the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given a commission to do this to the ends of the world. You can find the gospel message. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4? Mark down in your bulletins if you're visiting. After service, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Here's what it says, paraphrasing. That in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to go from heaven to earth in human form. That Christ lived a perfect and sinless life. Because of that sinless life, He was able to die on the cross for our sins. That once He had sacrificed Himself for our sins, that He was in the grave, dead for 3 days. But on the third day, He rose again to the glory of God the Father. And Because of that, He has defeated death and the grave. Therefore, if you confess Jesus Christ is Lord, if you ask pardon of your sins and say, Lord, please forgive me, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord, He will forgive you. He will. It's right there in His Word. But it has to be through Jesus Christ. And people ask all the time, why Jesus? Because Jesus said so. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine that? Just wrap your brain around that for a minute. I'm done in 30 seconds, guys. Just wrap your brain around that. That God, who had done no wrong, died for our sins. And if you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, that God the Father, all of the blessings that are owed to God the Son for dying for our sins, all of those blessings are accounted to you if you believe in Jesus Christ. Did you get that? Jesus deserves all the glory. Jesus deserves all the blessings. Jesus deserves to be is the inheritor of heaven. Jesus is the Son of God. But when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, those blessings, that inheritance, all of that comes into your life if you will only receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, how can you possibly, knowing all this, whether you're here in the sanctuary or watching on the internet, how could you possibly turn down free eternal salvation? How is that possible? God says in the book of Isaiah, come, let us reason together. Though your sins may be as scarlet, I will wash them white as snow. Today, I leave you with these words. Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Please receive Christ this day. With every head bowed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.